welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
I had a strange experience this morning. I'll just share this little funny thing with you. I had a bit of dry skin around my eyes here, so I thought, I've got some of Claire's down at her mum's over the few days, so I grabbed some of her moisturising cream, got it, put my finger, went like this. I thought, that'll do it. And then about 3 minutes later, I felt this incredible burning sensation all around my eyes. I thought, oh, what was that? So it was the right cream, but it was obviously the wrong eyes to put it on, so I quickly washed it off. So if I look like, I don't know if you've noticed, does it look like I've got my makeup on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Okay, it's not makeup. I just had to wash it away. It obviously reacted. So another funny thing happened to me a little while ago. I was about to take a meeting over at Roffey at the Bible College, and in the morning I had the normal shave, the traditional shave that we have us blokes most days, and I noticed that my sideburn was getting a little bit thick, so I got my new clippers out, new patchy clippers. So I went like this, and the whole of my sideburn was off, apart from a couple of strands. Oh no, what am I going to do? How embarrassing is that to go in with one sideburn here and nothing here? So anyway, I managed to pull a bit of hair down like this and shorten it, and then I shortened the other one so it was almost non-existent and managed to get away with it. Have you ever done anything like that? Embarrassing things that happen to the pastor. And it's just all part of life, isn't it? Hey, we go through stuff like that. Anyway, Matthew 21 and verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, talking about Jesus, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." For those of you that perhaps aren't a regular part of the church, we're going through Matthew's Gospel. We're doing a study. We're studying a chapter a week. And it's just been fantastic. It's just really got us into the Word of God, and God speaks to us through these chapters. And we happen to be in chapter 21 this week, and so I'm going to use this to launch into what God's given me to speak about today. And Jesus talks to the fig tree. I don't know if you've spoken to any trees recently, but Jesus spoke to the tree. I can imagine Peter thinking, oh my life, what's he doing again? What's happening here? What's this? He's talked to the fig tree. And I can imagine Peter just walking on quickly. And perhaps Matthew was holding back a bit, and he stayed around, because it actually says, if you read it, it says that immediately the fig tree withered away. So that meant immediately it began to dry up. I can imagine Matthew, because Peter was I'm moving on. That was a crazy thing to whatever that was about, talking to a tree. And but Matthew actually noted that the fig tree immediately withered. The fig tree, when it comes into leaf, it also comes out with the buds that are going to fruit. So you can tell on a fig tree whether it's going to be fruitful or not. And Jesus went up to the fig tree and saw that there was leaves but no fruit, because the fruit and the tree, you know, the little buds come at the same time as the leaves. And so he did an unusual thing. He cursed the fig tree. Obviously, there's a reason for this. It wasn't that he hates fig trees or anything like that. I've heard some people get really upset about the fig tree. Anyway, that's another subject. But anyway, let no fruit grow on you again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. Jesus does not want you to have a lot of leaf in your life. He doesn't want you to be full of leaves. There's a lot of Christians around who've got a lot of leaves on them. They look good, they sound good. They can be church members or church leaders even. Some of them look good, but actually they've just got lots of leaves. What God is after, he's after
fruit.
And I've entitled this morning's talk, Kingdom, Faith and Fruit. Because it's no good having kingdom faith, that's the faith that comes from God, and living the dynamic of faith if we're not bearing fruit. Perhaps we ought to be called Kingdom, Faith and Fruit Church.
Yeah.
Anyway, God wants us to be bearing a lot of fruit. He does not want us to be bearing leaves. And I look around and I think there's a lot of leaves around, but there's not so much fruit. And praise God that there is fruit, and I see the fruit in this church growing. I see things happening, and fruit in my own life as well. But, you know, fruit, God wants fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is something that comes out of the tree. It's part of the life of the tree. But the kind of fruit that Jesus is after is fruit that will last.
Yes.
So we're not talking about rubbishy fruit or distorted fruit. We talk about fruit that will really last. Amen. Lasting fruit. That means to me, that says to me, this is stuff that obviously God has done in my obedience to him. Something's happened, I've obeyed him. And this fruit will then go on and be lasting fruit that when I actually meet with him, when I've come to the end of my life, I go to be with him, that's lasting fruit. Fruit that we can actually say, here, Lord, that's yours. Does it make sense? So we're not talking about you can do something today and tomorrow it might be gone. That wasn't lasting fruit. Are you with me? But if you do something today that actually lasts the course in your own life and in the lives of others, and you get to God's presence, you finish your course, you've run the race, you've finished your life, you go up to be with the Lord, or the Lord comes back first, whichever happens first, you present to him lasting fruit. That's what God's after. Now, if you can get this in your spirit today, God wants you to be bearing a lot of fruit. Just turn to someone and say, a lot of fruit. A lot of fruit. A lot of fruit. God wants you to be fruity in the right way. He wants you to have a lot of fruit in your life. He wants us to be fruitful believers. I was very privileged to go yesterday with Pastor Colin. We went up to a leaders' conference in it's like the eastern part of the country, and shared the day together. And he was talking about how that some years ago, if he went to the kind of day that we went to yesterday, it would have been absolutely packed out. Not so many years ago. Absolutely packed out because there was a real season of the moving of the Spirit. And we're in a different season now. It's a very different season. We're going to come into some amazing things, I believe. I believe God is going to freshly pour out his Spirit in a new way. But we're in a kind of a funny season. It's a funny season. And there's the first fruits. I can see the first fruits coming. We've seen them here. We've seen people being healed in perhaps ways that we haven't seen them being healed before. We've seen people become Christians. We're seeing miracles happening. We're seeing answers to prayer. We're getting closer to God. And there's something he wants to release into his church. Fruit, lasting fruit. Lasting fruit. And let's go on and just read verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? And Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you speak to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. When did you last speak to a mountain? When did you last speak to an obstacle or a situation? When did you last speak to a problem or a need? Either you have or someone else has, someone you know has a real problem, it's a mountain. It may be a mountain to them. It may be a mountain to you. God is saying to us this morning, Jesus is actually saying, he did that to the fig tree to demonstrate the power of words. To demonstrate that out of your, when you speak from God, if it's from God, when you speak those words of spirit and life have an effect. Jesus actually cursed the fig tree. Now, he's not telling us we go around cursing people, of course not. But, you know, God has given us authority to curse the work of the enemy. So sometimes I curse sickness. I curse sickness over, you know, sometimes I pray that way and then release the healing power of Jesus. Because sickness isn't from God. That's a no-fruit situation. It's just leaves, isn't it? It's no fruit on it. But healing is fruit. Okay? And so God is saying to us this morning, he's saying, I want you to bear fruit. You get the message? I want you to be full of kingdom faith to bear kingdom fruit. Lasting faith that comes from heaven, that initiates something for you to do in God, that then produces lasting fruit. And when we start walking, that's called walking in the Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit. When we start walking that way, you'll find that Jesus will become a lot realer. That's not very good at English, is it? We'll become more real to you. And you'll become more aware of his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit actually flowing up on the inside of you, because you're starting to release life. I like what Jerry said this morning. You know, we've got to start releasing what we have. God gave us the word just a couple of weeks ago, release the river. You release the river. You release what God's put on the inside of you, which is Christ living in you. Start releasing those gifts. Don't allow the enemy to shut you down. You shut him down. Put your foot down on the enemy's head. Take authority over the devil. Don't let him rule over you. Just rise up in a new way today and rise up against the enemy's schemes to shut you down, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to shut you down. He wants to stop you from producing fruit, and he certainly doesn't want you producing lasting fruit. God does. and the Holy Spirit is for you. And we've heard some very encouraging words this morning that set us up just right, really, for us to receive what he wants to do today. And so Jesus was saying, speak to the mountain. I find a lot of Christians praying about their mountain. I've done it myself. I remember some years ago, I prayed about my arm. God must have got fed up with hearing about my jolly arm and why it wasn't working properly and I couldn't use it properly. It's getting weaker and weaker and I needed it for work and different things. And one day I went down to my office and I knelt down and prayed and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, stop telling me about your arm. Like he was fed up. He said, start receiving your healing.
Amen.
See, we're good at telling God. We call it prayer, but it's actually just telling God the problem. That's not prayer. That's complaining and whining and whinging. Okay, but what I started to do that day when the Holy Spirit said, I know about your problem. You've told me about it enough. Stop. And today I want you to receive your healing. So on that day, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. Today at 9 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. I've received my healing and I received it. I'll tell you where I received it. It was the arm, but I received it in here. That's the first. I got it in here. I saw myself totally healed. And I received it by faith. I thank God that I was healed. Then I start to move my arm around. It was worse. It was actually worse than it had been before. That's not right. That's not biblical. That's not in the Bible. But I thank God because I knew I'd received the healing in here. Now, just stay with me just for a minute because God often does heal instantly, but doesn't always heal immediately. But as far as my faith was concerned, I was healed. And I began to move it. I'd been like this for months and months and months, probably nearly a year, with this problem in the arm. And there's somewhere over those next 3 or 4 days as I exercised my faith, and that's actually what it was all about. God was saying to me, just thank me that you're healed.
Amen.
So I didn't complain about it. I didn't think about the pain anymore. I just thank God, thank you, I'm healed because I've got it in here. I received the answer here. I believed and I received. I rebuked the mountain, the problem, and I received the healing right there and then. Somewhere over the next 3, 4, 5 days, what was within a week, that thing just left. I mean, it didn't just get weaker, it just left.
Amen.
And I remember God saying to me, you see, because you received it by faith, you've got it. You had it then, but now you've just received the manifestation of what you've got inside here. That's how the kingdom works.
Amen.
You receive something here first. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
And you receive it in the spirit. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you have any mountains this morning, I suggest to you, I'd like to be a bit stronger than that, I strongly urge you to rebuke, stand against any mountain that you got this morning. We are too passive as Christians. We are very, very passive. We're English, some of us are English anyway, and part of our English heritage is that we tend to be quite quiet and shy and reserved. And we don't stand up against the things that the enemy throws against us. And the Bible says we're not English, or whatever you are this morning. We belong to a different kingdom. We are a chosen people. We are a peculiar people, one version says. Well, looking around this morning, looking at myself in the mirror, I thought, well, that's true. It actually means we're a special people. We're a called out people. We're a chosen people by Jesus. And we're here to display the glory of God. And we need to speak up against our mountains.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. God is saying, stir up yourself in your faith. Don't allow things to rule over you, but don't do it in your own strength. Do it by the Holy Spirit. Do it in the power of the Spirit. Is this making sense?
Mm.
Is this making sense to anyone?
Yes.
Don't do it in your own strength, but God is saying, rise up, stand up, stir up. And speak to the mountain and command it to go. And look at verse 22, just to encourage us all. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing. That's the key. That's the bridge. Whatever things you ask, we're all asking lots of things in prayer. But believing, that's the question. Are we believing? Believing has an action. The word believe is a verb. It means to take action. So believing prayer is active prayer. That means when I've prayed, I'll do something with it. I'll do something about what I just prayed about. So whatever things you pray, believing, you receive. Does that make sense? So you ask in faith in God, you pray some things through believing, and then out of your believing, you receive your answer. You receive it in here, and then you normally God will get you to do something whether it's over a period of time or immediately, God will start getting you to activate what you've just prayed in your with your faith. Come with me to, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read this out of the Truth Version. We've been hearing some messages recently. Pastor Colin's been speaking a lot, actually, about the whole issue of spirit and soul. Some of you might have heard of it, some of you may not. But just to briefly say before we read this, is when you got born again, when you received Jesus Christ, and you repented of your sins, turned to Christ Jesus, realized he died on the cross for you, he was buried for your sins, he broke the power of sin and death. The reason Jesus came wasn't just to forgive us our sins, it was actually to give us his life. Some the way that we sometimes tell the gospel sounds like he just came to forgive us. He didn't. He came to forgive us our sins so that we could receive his life, eternal life, relationship with God. That's the wonderful gift that he offers to everyone in this hall this morning, the gift of his life, of a relationship with him. And when we get born again, we are given, the Bible says we're given a new spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit comes to live. That's where his spirit comes to live. So you are given a new receiver, a new transmitter and receiver in one. That's your spirit. That's your ability to talk to God and hear from God. That's where actually the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, comes to actually live in you, he says. In your spirit. So that's the part, the new part of you. That's where you got newly made when you became a Christian. And the other part of you is you've got also got a body, I think. Just having a quick look around, make sure we've all got bodies this morning. So we've been given a body, and when we got born again, we received a new spirit. And we've also got a soul. Just say soul. Now your soul is that's the personality of you. That's you. And your soul is made up of what you think, your mind. It's made up of your volition. That's your decision-making, choosing and so on, making decisions, your will. And you've also got your emotions, your feelings. And those three elements, main elements, make up who you are as a person. So in this room, there's lots of souls here this morning. But God does not want you to live out of your soul. He wants you to live out of your spirit. And there's a big, big difference. Is this making sense? Let me give you an example. Some people live out of their emotions all the time. So that means that today they're woohoo, really happy because they had a great day. Someone brought them some flowers and they got blessed. They won the pools or something happened to them and they were happy. But the next day or even the next moment, something bad happens. They get a miserable phone call from someone. Someone sends them a bill, so they're really down. What's happening? They're living by their soul. They're affected by this. Now, we are all affected by our soul, but you don't have to live there. Living by your feelings, by your emotions, by your thoughts, and even your own self-will, that's your soul. That's yourself. So let's call it self. So you've got the spirit where Jesus is living inside of you, and you've got self. And what God wants to do, if you imagine this is your spirit, where Jesus is living, he wants your soul, yourself, to come under the Spirit. The Bible says it's called submitting or yielding to, giving way to the Spirit. And it usually takes most believers a little while to learn that one, like their whole life. But I'm learning that the more I yield my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions to the Spirit of God, where he's living inside of me, the more victory I'm seeing in my life. Because when we become believers, Christians, the first thing is that day you lost your life. You lost your soul life. That day, actually, God says, I don't know if it was explained to you that way, but actually that day when you gave your life to Christ, a new life started and an old life finished. But what we try and do is we try and pick up the old life and carry on going. we actually pick up the old life and let the old life begin to carry on ruling over us, and we wonder why years and years later we're still living in this wretched turmoil of going around in circles, because it's not the spirit that's in control, it's the soul. And in the New Testament, there's lots of, it's called the flesh, it's called living carnally, but it's basically the self-life taking dominance over the spiritual life. And what God is saying, he's saying to us, look, he's saying to people like me and us who are leading people to Christ, make sure you tell them the truth and make it clear to them that when they give their lives to Jesus, they're giving their whole life to him. We're not just receiving Christ to come and live in me to make me feel good or to forgive me my sins. He will do that and he'll give us a brand new life. But what we're actually doing is we're actually saying to the person, no, you're giving your life today. Your life is going to finish. Your old life is going to finish today because you're going to give that life to God, and you're going to let his life come and take control. Are you in agreement? Now, as Christians, are we living that way today? As believers, are we living in that way? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to be in control of our lives? Because God wants us to have great victories. He's wanting to release something into the church that he can't release unless we're living that way. So just a very, 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 very practical example. Sunday morning is a great example of this. Some people decided this morning, I'm going to have an extra hour in bed. I'm going to go down to the beach. I think they've made a bad decision. They did. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to see some relatives today. Now, there's nothing wrong in having a Sunday off or Sunday out to do things now and again. But when you consistently start making bad decisions that stop you from being with other believers, that's self ruling over the spirit. Are you with me? Every one of us, when we get here on a Sunday, we've all made an effort to be here. I guarantee most of us didn't get here easily this morning. There were some things you had to do to make sure you got here on time, or perhaps you got late. That's another area that needs to be dealt with, coming in late. But anyway, but basically, God is wanting us to sharpen up. And I'll tell you what: when God pours His Spirit out into the church, and what we call revival happens. Revival happens when people are so dead to themselves and so alive to God that they're totally dedicated to Him, and they flow with Him. So is this making sense? And God is wanting to encourage us that our old life is finished with, but the new life has begun. He wants us to submit our soul, our self-life, to the Spirit. Let's have a read here in Hebrews 4. Listen, God wants you to be at rest. He doesn't want you to be struggling, and he certainly doesn't want you to feel this Christian life I've got to do all these different things to tick all the boxes. No, you haven't. The Holy Spirit will do that if you'll obey him. The Holy Spirit will enable you every step of the way to live the life. But it says here, verse 1, however, the promise of entering into his inheritance still stands. So make sure that none of you fails to enter into what is promised. We've received the gospel through those who brought it to us, but our forefathers also received God's message. Yet it was no value to them, for although they heard what was said, they did not respond with faith. We have believed what God said, and so are able to enter into that inheritance and have peace with him. Yet his word still applies. And he says, so I promised in my anger they will never enter into my rest. Talking about, in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they couldn't enter the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land of rest, because basically that they were living under themselves. Self was on the throne of their lives. They were very selfish. They complained. They whined. There was no faith there at all. Verse 4, God's work was finished when the creation of the world was complete. And he spoke about the seventh day in these words, and God rested from all his work on the seventh day. This is the same God who promised that the disobedient shall never enter into that inheritance, eternal rest with him. It is true, therefore, that some will enter the rich inheritance of his rest, and some will not. Those who had God's words of deliverance preached them did not enter because of their disbelief. Isn't it amazing? There was millions of people with Moses in the wilderness, and they saw incredible things of God. They saw God do amazing stuff. They saw the presence of God coming down. They saw Moses with the glory of God on him. They saw so many things, but they didn't enter the promised land because of themselves. So only a few actually entered in. It was their children actually that got in. It's the next generation that got in because they did not believe God. And God is saying that he needs a church, he needs a people who are in faith, who really have faith in him, like we were speaking just now, and who are learning how to submit themselves to the Spirit in their life so that the Holy Spirit can actually be released through them. Otherwise, we'll restrict what God wants to do. And in this nation right now, in our nation, we have a very selfish nation, and we actually have a very selfish church. And God wants to change the church around, to change the nation. So we pray for our nation, but our nation cannot be changed until the church is actually changed. Now, the nation is bigger than the church, a lot bigger in terms of people. But it doesn't take a lot of people. It took 12 people, or 120 in an upper room, who put themselves under the Spirit to pray through together for 14 days or so, 10 days or so. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and they were completely transformed men and women, because they decided, nah, I'm going to live now totally for the cause of the kingdom of God, to see him move in power in Jerusalem, in Crawley, in East Grinstead, or wherever you come from. And that's the kind of faith focus that we need to have. We have to make a decision. Jesus Christ isn't just in a box up here. Jesus Christ is the box.
Amen.
So he's not part of my life, he is my life. And a lot of Christians are living with him as part of their life, but they're not actually living with him as their life. And there's a huge difference. And for us to see a revival, for us to see a move of the Spirit of God in this nation, that's what we need. The government's not going to change the nation. But the church, a church, and churches up and down this land who really get to grips with God and submit themselves to the Spirit for a move of the Holy Spirit, they will see their cities, towns, villages, they will see whole regions changed by the power of God. Are you with me? But it actually starts with you. And it starts with me making a decision about my life, that I'm going to submit my soul, my self-life, to the Spirit and live for the cause of his kingdom. So that means everything that I do, work, fun, pleasure, family, everything comes under that rulership of Jesus, the Spirit. Hallelujah. I heard someone say.
Yes.
Says, if you hear God speaking to you today, do not harden your hearts against what he says. God wants you to hear his voice. His voice is the most wonderful, wonderful voice you can ever hear. God always speaks to me, he always speaks words of life. Even if he's ticking me off, it's still life-giving. It's, ooh, that hurt, but thank you. Thank you, God, for that. It's done me good. And God speaks words of life to us. If you hear God speaking to you today, don't harden your hearts against what he says. Don't have a hard heart. Give everything back to God. That's what he was saying in the earlier part of the meeting. Cast everything upon him. Throw yourself upon him afresh, because he wants to do something brand new. If they'd entered into this rich inheritance of his rest under Joshua, God would not have needed to speak about another today in David's time. There remains a kind of Sabbath rest for God's people today, for those who enter into the inheritance he has promised. Those who enter into the inheritance he has promised have ceased to try and impress God with their own works. We can't impress God with anything. Just as God rested from his works, so they have rested from their works. What is a work? It's a work that you do in your own strength, something you try to do. It's something you did in your own ability. And what God is saying, he's saying, stop doing your own works. Start doing mine. Stop living your Christian life how you have decided, your preferences, how you want to live your Christian life. Well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'm available for this, but I'm not available for that. No, God says, be available to him and obey what he says to you. Obey what he wants you to do, and you will have life in all its fullness. And so God is saying, stop. He's saying, cease from doing your own works. He says, just as God rested from his work, so they've rested from theirs. All our effort, this is verse 11, all our effort is now channeled into entering that inheritance that God has given to us. So God wants you to enjoy his inheritance, his rest and his peace and his joy and knowing him here and now. So it's called a relationship. He wants us to be full of that love relationship with him, doesn't he? Every moment of every day. He says, is that possible? Yes, it is. Even when you're going through a hard time, yes, even through a hard time, you can know the presence, the river of the Holy Spirit welling up within you, feeding you. You can drink from that river anytime you like. That's called entering into the rest, entering into his inheritance. So when trouble comes, you're not in trouble, you're in God. When trouble comes knocking on your door, you can still be in that place of rest with God. Listen to this. God's word, verse 12, is always alive and will work actively in all who believe. His word is sharper than any blade. Listen to this. It says it separates spirit and soul. So when God comes and speaks to you, what's he going to do? When he brings a word, when you hear a word like on Sunday or you read the Bible yourself and God's speaking to you, his word, it says his word is sharper than any two-edged sword or blade. It separates spirit and soul. So what the purpose for that is that God, when he speaks his word will search us out in here. And then he'll separate between what is of you and what is of God. He'll separate between the spirit and the self-life. Does that make sense? That's why we need this. We need the words in this book. We need God's word every day so that we're walking, we're following hard after Jesus. We're following hard after him. We're obeying him. Okay? And when we do that, we'll actually have a release of his life. And so his word separates spirit and soul, showing us what is of God and what is of self. It demonstrates what is merely external and what is of the heart. So this is the reason why we always encourage you, read, keep reading God's word every day. Read the Bible. Read through a whole book at a time. We're going through Matthew's gospel. I hope you're reading more than just Matthew's gospel. Read as much of this as you can, because when you read this, you'll hear what God is saying to you. You'll actually hear God speaking to you through reading this. That's the number one way of hearing God speak. It's not with a strange voice wafting through the ceiling. It's actually by reading the Bible, reading the Word of God, and then quietly listening to him and letting him speak to you in your spirit. And God will speak to us in other ways too, dreams, visions, and so on. But God wants to speak through his Word, and his Word will always separate between what is self and what is spirit, showing us what is of God and what is of self. It even shows us whether our thoughts and our heart attitudes are right or not. There's nothing in the whole of creation that is hidden from God. He sees and knows everything that takes place. Yes, everything is exposed before his eyes. We are naked before him, and it's to him that we will have to give account for what we have done with our lives. Fruit. Amen? We will have to give account for our lives to God. Give an account for what he's spoken to us, his word. And what God's been doing with me just recently, I've been spending more time praying just about his word. His word over my life, his word to me, his word over our marriage, his word over the church. I've been just going back over, God, what you've been saying to me, what his word is. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Let his word speak to you afresh, because his word will always separate between self and the spirit. And he wants us to go with the spirit. So he wants the self-life and the things that we had preference about to come under, submit under the spirit. And as we do that, we're going to find that we'll walk with God in a new way. That's where the miracles happen. That's where the power flows. When we make a decision, I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk with the Holy Spirit of God. And then we've got this wonderful truth. However, we can hold on firmly to the faith we have already, for Jesus, the Son of God, is our great high priest. He has ascended through the heavens. He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Anyone got weaknesses this morning? Jesus understands all of that we go through. He was here once in our place, as it were. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he was tempted and tested in every way that we have experienced. Yet he was different from us in this respect. He never yielded to temptation, so he never sinned. Because of what he has done in going ahead of us, we are now able to come close to God's throne of grace with confidence. And when we do so, we are able to receive mercy and discover God's abundant grace that will help us no matter what the nature of our needs. Listen, God wants to help you. God wants to help me. God wants to help us. And the way he does so is we come before his throne of grace in prayer. We come before his throne. We come before Jesus in prayer with faith. And he says that his throne is a throne of grace. And grace is like a river full of his love and full of his power. And when we call upon God's grace literally comes and will change us. So whatever weaknesses, whatever areas that we're struggling with, because we're afraid to obey God, because he's asked us perhaps to do something that is beyond where we really want to go. Well, that's the way faith works. Sorry about that. But that's the way faith will always take you beyond where you're comfortable. But God will give you the grace to do it. God will grace you. God will give you his victory. So come to the throne of grace with confidence and start receiving his mercy and find God's abundant grace. That's his favor and his power and his love poured out into you so that you can live the life he's called you to, that will enable you to obey what he's saying. This abundant grace will help us no matter what the nature of our needs. And just come with me to John's Gospel, chapter 15, please, because we're talking about faith and fruit. And if you put these scriptures together, if you get hold of the message, if you want, you can purchase the message afterwards if you want to, if you want to listen to this again and just meditate upon what God is saying. But it's John 15, John's Gospel, chapter 15. Just to remind us, Jesus wants us to bear a lot of fruit, doesn't he? By obeying his word. Now, in this room this morning, God is saying he has a word for every single one of us, perhaps a lot of words. And in those words he's speaking over our lives, the question is, will we believe his word? And the second thing is, are we going to obey his word to us? But God is speaking all the time. God is speaking words of life. That's why he wants us to listen to him each day, so that we listen to his word and obey what he says and benefit from it as well, because that's how we get to know him better. And in John 15 it says, Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father tends this vine. He cuts out every branch in me that does not produce fruit. Even the fruitful branches he carefully prunes, so that in future they will bear even more fruit. You have already been pruned through the words I have spoken to you. Don't be like me. Some years ago I was asked to prune this lady's garden. She said, would you cut my hedges and prune my garden for me? So I said, I'll do that. And I went there, and I was in my very zealous teens, and I thought, I can handle this. And I must have demolished the whole of her garden. I cut her hedges real short, killed some of the hedges because I cut them too short. And I think I must have killed nearly every plant that she had. Well, that's not the kind of pruning that God does. The kind of pruning God does, he does in his love, and he prunes out of us things of self. That's what the pruning is all about, so that we can be more fruitful. Stay living in me, and I will continue to live in you. It's impossible for any branch to be fruitful if it's separated from the vine. It has to continue to live in the vine. In the same way, it would be impossible for you to bear fruit if you were not to remain living in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches in the vine. Anyone who continues to live in me and I in him will be abundantly fruitful. I love the picture. Have you ever seen a vine trying to make fruit? Have you ever seen an apple tree going, oh? Have you ever seen your runner beans going, oh? No. Why? Because the law of life and growth within that plant, within that tree, it just flows through it. And Jesus is saying, that's the life I've given to you. Amen. Let my life out. Let my life come. Let my life bear fruit through you. Let me come in and let me come out. Let me flow in you. And how do we do that? By listening to his word, letting his word separate between self and the spirit, and then obeying what he says and doing it. That's the Christian life. Listening to what God says, believing his word, and obeying him, and bearing much fruit. That's the Christian life. Loving Jesus in it all and knowing Jesus in it all. I am the vine and you are the branches in the vine. Anyone who continues to live in me and I in him will be abundantly fruitful. But outside of me, you can do absolutely nothing. For anyone who does not continue to live one with me is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. All such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. Now that's not us. God wants us to be bearing fruit, and fruit that will last, lasting fruit. He wants us to come afresh to him today and make a decision today. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord, then do it today. Don't put off the time. Just hand your life over to him. Give your life to him and let his life come in you. And then start following him. And those of us that have believed perhaps for some years or many years, God is encouraging us today, listen to my word every day. Listen to God's word. Don't allow your self-life to rule over your spirit. Don't go by your preferences. Go by conviction. Go by what God is saying and obey him. And as you do so, you'll see a release of the life of the spirit in your life, perhaps you've not seen before. I just got really encouraged this week as I listened to God each day. God said different things to me this week, and I saw the things that he said come to pass. That's kind of cool, isn't it? It's great, isn't it, when you hear God say something and it comes to pass. But that's how it's supposed to be. God wants to speak to us, and he speaks words of life and words of love to us, and he wants us to obey his voice. So all we have to do is yield. That's all we have to do. You say, it must be more. No, that's all we have to do. Recognize that your life is not your own. It belongs to Christ, belongs to him. All you have to do is yield to him and make yourself available. And then it's up to God. It's over to him then. It's over to him. So when you read the word, let him speak to you. He will speak to you. He'll bring a word to you. When you pray, when you listen to God, he will speak to you. He'll bring the words of the Spirit to you. He'll give you a dream, a vision. He'll quicken things to you. He'll show you things that you need to hear and know. And then it's up to you. Are you going to live under yourself, or are you going to live under the Spirit and obey the Spirit? That's the challenge for the church today. That's the challenge for us in our personal lives, but it's actually the challenge for the church. Because today, in this nation, we have a very selfish church. We have a church that's after blessings, after what God can do for me, just make life easier, make life better, hear the latest, greatest message, see the latest signs and wonders running here and there. But God's saying, no, that won't cut it. That actually won't cut it. What we need to do is we need to come before God and start obeying what he says. And make a determination. You see, some years ago, God spoke to me as a pastor. I've been in pastoral ministry for a number of years now. And I realized that I was doing a lot of stuff in my own strength. And God really took me to task about it in love. He was very kind to me. And while I was laid up sick during about 10 or 12 days, God, the Holy Spirit, began to speak to me. And he said to me, listen, Paul, he said, when I was here on earth, every day I was asking the Holy Spirit, he literally spoke to me like this, I was asking the Holy Spirit to come and take control. And you've got to do the same thing, because the Holy Spirit's in your life, but he's over there. He's like in the wings. He's over there to one side. I want you to invite him to come and take central place in you. And so I cried. I cried for about 3 days, on and off. I did stop now and again. Because I realized that I'd done so much in my own effort and my own strength. And I realized that there was fruit, but it wasn't the kind of fruit that God wanted. And I made a decision that I would ask the Holy Spirit to come and take control, so it would be him and not me. Now, there's always a bit of me. There's always a bit of you, isn't there? There's always something of us that God is dealing with. But the key is to let Jesus come and take control. And so I started praying, Lord, I just want you to be in control. I just want you to take control. I just want to yield my soul, my self-life to the Spirit. I just want, Holy Spirit, come and take control. Come and lead me. Began to talk to the Holy Spirit and pray to God that way. Say, Holy Spirit, every day I want you to please come and take control of me and flow through me today. How can I serve you, Lord? What can I do for you today? Cause me to hear your voice. And when we have that kind of faith attitude, God will speak to you. I guarantee God will speak fresh words of life to you. Some of you today, you're not hearing God, but he wants to speak. He is actually speaking to you. It's just you're not hearing him. And he wants to help you today so that you actually hear his voice, hear him speaking to you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.